New York and on the internet at WBAI.org. It is 5 o'clock. The program you just heard, Labrish with Haftar Selassie, will be back next week at 2, following the work of the Midnight Ravers. And stay tuned for Back of the Book right here.
People, yeah.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It's gonna be about 5 a.m., and you're listening to All Sadness in the Martin Family Radio, WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners wherever they may be.
Indeed. And you can find out a little bit more about what we're talking about by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You look around at things up there. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen. At the top of it, it will say Latest Back of the Book Program Links. And if you click on that, you'll get to the webpage for tonight's program. For this morning's program. God, I'm still saying tonight's program. You know, before this program is over, the sun will be up. Oh, well, it's interesting. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be functioning. This is our 44th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded, and it was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. So if things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program is not as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these still dangerous times. And in the top story for the past week, we have gone up to 109 followers on Twitter. Oh my godlessness, so many up there. Wowee. And the next public WBAI local station board meeting is scheduled to be held on Wednesday, June 9th, 2021 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 165,705,287 on Friday, and global deaths reached 3,434,082. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 33,076,705, and the death toll in America had reached 589,096. So, 3,934 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. The death rate is noticeably lower than last week's. It's significantly lower than last week's. Now we're under 4,000 dead in America per week. We had been at under 5,000 for some weeks. Now we're at under 4,000, and this is good news. Some states reported no COVID-19 deaths at all for 1 day in this past week, which is sort of grasping at straws to some degree, but hey, I mean, it's better than what we've been seeing otherwise. Of course, we also have New York City officially opening up now, and, well, opening up sort of. And by the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course. And although the trend is good, we're looking at a rate of over 560 people a day dying in America of this virus. And it was mostly preventable.
And we have an update from the World Health Organization. Worldwide, 6 to 8 million people have died from COVID-19. And this is horrifying. It's amazing how much we continue to accept all the deaths that have happened from this illness that, as Arpal just said, was preventable. This did not have to happen. This pandemic did not have to happen. The WHO also estimates that the death toll in the United States is closer to 1 million people. I don't know. Even though things are going really well for some of us, we are all still in this pandemic together.
This is to be expected, I suppose, because a lot of places really just don't have the ability to test people. And in a lot of places, there are also political reasons not to have this happen. There are places in the United States where apparently the coroners in red states, those Trumpian states, are reporting people dying of other stuff, but, you know, not COVID-19. However, they still report that people are dying. So when you look at things, you see, oh, for all causes, the death rate is much higher. And it is not the difference between the official death rate of COVID-19 and what had been in the before times. And so they conclude that they've been either misdiagnosing or purposely undercounting the number of COVID-19 deaths, because, hey, we don't want that idiot Trump to be blamed for even more deaths, do we? Well, they don't. And India is still the second most infected country now, with 26,031,991 cases, and with deaths at 291,331. So in this past week, India has had 29,014 COVID-19 deaths. So while the United States is getting a handle on the pandemic, India is in free fall. The images of those funeral pyres in the streets and parking lots is pretty apocalyptic looking. Of course, the number of deaths in both India and America, as well as in Brazil and other places, is probably higher, in some cases much higher, than the official tolls are showing, which Pickles of the North just told us about something we saw as we were getting ready to start recording all of this. So, yeah. Oh, boy. Well, we've certainly seen the World Health Organization backing up the idea that there are really more deaths than the official tolls have been showing. And it's important to remember that a place like India has over 1 billion people in it, so it can spread very badly. They don't have even enough oxygen. They don't have a lot of stuff. And in various areas, people don't even go to hospitals, so they're just dying out there. And this is also a place where you can get more variants, because anytime the virus is in a human being, it can put out a variant, and a variant might be really, really bad. And so this is very important that a very highly populated and in some cases very densely populated place like India is having the virus run through it like this. And the odds are we could get another variant out of that. And you never know when the variant is going to be one that will just sail right through our antiviral protections. So, oh boy, what a world. On the last two programs, we've talked about being ill a couple of weeks ago, and Pickles is all better. I'm better, but still coughing a bit. I need a cough drop every now and again. And we were again hoping to go out for fun this past week. Once again, that didn't happen, because as it turned out, we did go out together, but it wasn't for fun. My cousin Betty died. She died a week ago or so. And so, this past week, Pickles and I went to her viewing slash wake, whatever it's called. I'm not sure what these things are called. And so we went there. It was the first time I had been on the subway since March 7th, 2020. It's more than 14 months ago. And so we went there and we were at it. It wasn't a highly populated thing. And boy, oh boy, did the funeral home ever soak her. But, you know, so we went. It was very sad. I've known my cousin Betty for the entire time I've been conscious. She's only 8 months younger than I am. And so I've known her. We were little kids together. So it was very sad. And, yeah, mostly it was us sitting around and talking. And then at the last minute, before they were going to go to the burial, this guy comes in and wants to say his prayer. And so my other cousin, who's been with my cousin Betty for her entire life, they're sisters, of course, she said, because she's, you know, used to that. It happened when at her mother's viewing and at her father's viewing, both of which we, Pickles and I, went to. And so the guy comes in and says he's going to say a prayer, and my other cousin says, okay. And so I said, okay, I'll be outside. And so I go and I'm walking out, and the guy says, sir, are you are you not going to stay for the prayer? And I said, no, and I left. And I don't know, you think he was not pleased with me for walking out on his prayer?
Apparently.
And what great prayer did he do?
Oh, well, let's see. I think since he knew that Betty had been baptized Catholic, raised Catholic, he did Hail Mary, he did, you know, the Our Father, you know, and something else that I didn't recognize, which is probably a prayer for the dead, but I don't remember it being a Catholic prayer for the dead, but, you know, yeah. It's been a while. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and so, yeah, they probably also soaked the surviving sister for that too. And so, yeah, they did that. And we didn't go to the burying because that was going to be entirely a religious thing. By the way, we don't even know that the guy who came in and said his silly little prayers, we don't even know that this guy was a sky pilot or anything. this guy may have been just an employee of the funeral home who came in and he does that, and they charge you an extra $500 for the religious service, which I'm told took all of 3 minutes and was performed as my surviving cousin rolled down the window of the limo they'd put her in because she's in a wheelchair. She can't get around. So they just had some, I don't know, it might have been a sky pilot, come up to the window, say 3 minutes worth of prayers, and that was the end of the whole thing. So we had left by then, and we didn't do any of that. So yes, once again, our Paul pisses off elements of organized superstition, but it's sadness that one of my cousins has passed away there.
Yes, your family is just, it's really tiny now.
Yeah, smaller than ever. God. I'm the oldest living male Martin in this area. There's another place where there's another branch of the Martin family, and I'm not sure what's with them. We haven't spoken with them in decades. And so, I don't know, maybe there's an older male Martin there, but maybe there isn't, in which case I may be the oldest male Martin left on the planet Earth. And I ain't going to be here for that much longer.
What do you mean you're not going to be here much longer? You promise me you get to stick around till at least 80, and then we'll try for some bonus years. Because anything after 80, that's the bonus years.
I don't remember making any promise like that.
Oh, well, I should have got it in writing.
You should have gotten it, period. But anyway, but you wouldn't get it from me because I ain't predicting.
I keep saying it over and over again, so.
Okay, well, you keep saying it. In any event, so I was on the subway for the first time in 14 months, and that was sort of a trip right there. And Pickles notes that it smells a lot less of urine down there now.
Oh, yeah, that was my second trip. So what did you think of it?
Well, I wasn't smelling for things, but, it sort of looks kind of the same, you know, fewer people. I would expect more people when we went. We actually left catching what should have been the very tail end of rush hour. Actually, we caught the last hour or so of rush hour, so it should have been jammed, but, it was not. We easily walked in, got seats. The car never filled up, and there we went. So, oh well, a lot of people are not getting into it yet. Now that the mayor has totally opened up New York City, though, we'll see what happens, I guess. And in other news like this, at a staff meeting on Thursday night, the general manager of WBAI said he's looking at July 1st for an opening date for WBAI because everybody's been told, don't come in here because, you know, it's of the pandemic. And I'm not sure everybody – well, we know not everybody's been following that. And, you know, also there are programs that – need engineers for them. And I know that some of those have been doing it by remotely. And so there are going to be mandates for masks and things for a while when people go in. Pickles and I have decided that we're not going to go in right away. We're going to let some number of weeks go by where we continue to do these pre-recorded programs because we want to see what's going to happen. We want to make sure that it's safe. Also, besides the virus, we're going to be getting on the subway at 4 o'clock in the morning. And we want to hope that the situation with mentally ill people murdering and harming other people isn't going to be quite as prevalent as it is right now. We would be great targets, these two little old people, literally little old people, getting onto the subway. And, you know, if some maniac is there, we're going to look like easy pickings. I would do my best to make sure we're not, but, you know, I'm an old man here, so there isn't a lot I can do. So, yeah, so we're gonna go on for some weeks after the station opens. We're going to go on recording these programs, and we'll see how that works. And at some point, we will be coming in live to do programs again, and I'll hope we remember how to do it.
Yes, it's mainly that subway ride because of the hour, and things are just so uncertain. And we're still in a pandemic, and other things could happen also. As you said before, who knows what variants are coming down the pike, you know.
Indeed. And I will note, it is late spring. Yes, it's late spring. We entered late spring this past Thursday afternoon. And you can go up to my website at glib.com and look at the chart of the seasons. And I've updated that on my website. And it took a while. People who are really eagle-eyed will have noticed that the chart of the seasons that I'd had up there went to the end of the year 2020. And then it just stayed there. It didn't update at all. Well, that was because I knew it was going to be quite a chore to do. And I kept saying, how did I do that? I don't just put up the equinoxes and the solstices, which you can get from places. I put up the equinoxes and solstices from the Naval Observatory. And I then do calculations to figure out the subseasons, which, as it turns out, I'm probably the only person who really cares about subseasons, I know. However, as it turns out, people who plant things find, when is the first third of spring? When is the second third of spring? What is the middle date of spring? And all of that for all four seasons, they have to plant certain things at certain times and, I guess, harvest certain things at certain times. And so this actually, I've been told by some of those people, is useful for them. And so what I have to do is calculate the middle times from these things. And I haven't done it in quite a while, and I completely forgot how to do it. Plus, the Naval Observatory website has been down for about a year and a half now. They still have something up there predicting that they're going to be back by fall 2020. And so I did manage to find some more Naval Observatory information. And so I put that together and I started figuring out all over again how the hell to do this. As I get older, my memory isn't what it used to be. It used to be a pretty damn decent memory. And it ain't like that anymore. So I had to figure it all out from scratch again, which I found to be not easy. Probably another artifact of my being an old fart. And so I managed to calculate it and put it up there. So if you want to see seasons and subseasons for the next few years, you can go up to the glib.com. And also, I decided that since I'd put that work into it, I might as well put it up on the front page of the navigation frame. And I took out the photo gallery and put that on the second page and swapped its position with the chart of the seasons. And which I haven't updated the photo gallery in years. And also, I looked at the web page that I was updating. Oh, man. You got to remember, this web page that I updated, I first put up on the web in the 20th century. And so there's some old code in there. So I went through and I corrected some old code. Some stuff I couldn't do anything about, but you'll never see it because the way HTML works, if you take everything and lump it together, it still shows the way it should show. So I've left some old things being a big mess in there. But you can't see it because it, for somebody coding the page, it's, oh boy, what a mess. For somebody looking at the page on the web, you don't see that it's a mess. You just see the data. in any event, I did that. I also found a webpage from October 2007 talking about the finances of BAI and Pacifica. And I don't know, I might just put some links up to that thing because it shows that, gee whiz, people who are claiming that a certain former faction was oh so great, you know, which is not true, the big problems were showing up even then. So there's that. Anyway, so I have updated the website with the chart of the seasons, and if you want to look at that, you can look at that. It took days to get that done. Anyway, there is all of that. Okay. And at this point, I should beg you for money. Ah, yes. We're going to do some pitching here. Yes, this is WBAI New York, and we are listener-sponsored non-commercial radio. That is not just a slogan. We are listener-sponsored non-commercial community radio in New York City. And what we do is, since we do not run commercials, and you're not going to hear anybody selling stuff here, you are going to say, how do they pay for all of this without commercials? Well, how we pay for it is we ask you to support us. That's the listener-sponsored part. You literally are our sponsors, not a car company or a drug company or Scientology or one of those other things. No, you are the sponsor. You are the listener sponsors. And that's how we survive. And how do we make it so that you can help us to survive? Well, we ask you to get up, go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950, and when you get the call center, when they pick up, say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And a BAI buddy is the name we have for the sustaining membership of this radio station. If you become a BAI buddy, that means you commit to donating once a month to WBAI a certain amount of money. So what you do then is you call up 1-212-209-2950. You say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. It's important to mention the name of the program so that we get credit for it because management is looking. And if it looks like we're not getting the money, you know, at some point they're going to say, you don't raise any money, get out. That can happen. It has happened in the history of the station. In any event, so you call 1-212-209-2950 and say, yes, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. You tell the call center person that picks up how much you want to donate a month. You can donate $5 a month or $10 a month or $15 a month or $20 a month. You could pledge more, but I think $5 to $20 is the general range most of our listeners will go for. And again, $5 a month, it's not a giant amount of money. There are lots of things you can think about that, yeah, you just don't even think about some things that you end up cumulatively spending $5 a month on. And you could maybe make BAI one of those things you don't bother thinking about that you spend $5 a month on. Again, 1-212-209-2950. And when you get to the call center, you tell them, you want to be billed for $5, $10, $15, or $20 a month. Of course, you give them your credit card or debit card number, and you tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or debit card charged for the amount of your donation. And they will do that. That way you get to choose a convenient day of the month for you. Some days on a month are not as good to get billed as other days. So, yeah, you get to choose that. 1-212-209-2950. And when you call up and you become a BAI buddy, you get the fabulous WBAI tote/grocery bag. Yeah, it's been a tote bag for years, but Recently, they made it also a grocery bag since, you know, now we have a new law in New York City that doesn't let you get plastic bags. By the way, Pickles found a plastic bag around that had been around for a while. It disintegrated. It literally disintegrated, which is not bad news. It means those bags, grocery bags, plastic grocery bags that are, that stuck in the trees for a long time, they will eventually fall apart. So that's a good thing. Anyway, 212-209-2950, say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And again, it could be $5, $10, $15, $20 a month, and you tell them how much you want to give per month and what day of the month you want to give. Also, we are going to be having, in a little while, in a month or so, we're going to be having elections for the local station board. It is really important that you go and participate in that, because we could get some people in there who will want to give this radio station away to a certain cable access outfit in Manhattan. And so we need to avoid that. And so we need you to call up 1-212-209-2950 and a regular one-year subscription to become a member. A voting member is $25. So if you become a BAI buddy at the lower end, you're probably not going to get enough money in by that time. You're not going to accumulate $25. So what you could do is you could call in a one-time donation of $25 or more, and also say it's for Back of the Book, and then you will become a voting member in this election for the local station board. It's very important that you do that. Also, if you have if you've donated $25 or more, you can run for the local station board. Oh boy. And that's a trip. That'll open your eyes if you get elected. Anyway, I've been on the local station board since it started. How long? What is it? 17 years ago, more than 17 years ago. And oh man, it's a trip. Anyway, okay, 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number. Give us a call now, and we hope you will do that
again.
Pickles of the North informs me I said blag instead of bag. I meant bag. You get it. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. And this past week, we have heard about and seen interviewed people from Heritage of Pride. They're the group that runs the annual lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer, plus infinity Pride March every year, which some of we old folks refer to as the Christopher Street Liberation Day March. And what they did was they came out with a dictate that the Gay Officers Action League will be banned for the 2022 March. Now, there's not an actual march again this year because they said, you know, it's the pandemic and all. Last year, there was not a march. They put balloons on cars and drove them up and down Fifth Avenue. Balloons and the names of, like, the Grand Marshal. Grand Marshal wasn't there, but they put the Grand Marshal's name on a car and had some balloons attached to it, and the car drove up and down Fifth Avenue for a while. They did that with, I think, 3 other names. And this year, they also figured they weren't going to be able to get a march going. And yeah, I think that's probably a good idea. Even though the city is sort of opening up, people are a little dicey about this. And so I think it's probably smart to also not have a live 2021 March. However, 2022 is going to happen, they say, but it's going to happen without the group Gay Officers Action League. Gay Officers Action League is the gay and lesbian police people. Gay people have known there have been gay cops since there have been cops. And we used to chant for the cops to come out. We'd have a demo or something. One of our chants would sometimes be, "Equal rights for gay cops," which some cops would laugh at and some cops would get furious about. "Oh, you say that some of us are homosexual?" And we're saying, "Yeah." And so anyway, eventually some gay and lesbian police officers got together and said, "Let's start a group." And it became the Gay Officers Action League, which is called GOAL. And they've been marching for years and years. They get insulted by the police. And one year the mounted police got together and they turned their horses around when Gay Officers Action League came by. So they did their insult to the Gay Officers Action League. And Heritage of Pride has banned the Gay Officers Action League until 2025 when they'll reconsider. Well, this is stupid. Heritage of Pride has been known to do some stupid stuff in the past. This ranks right up there with the rest of it. This march is important. Some people don't understand that that's true. This is important because it's a time when, one, you're bringing a lot of gay, lesbian, etc. people. I'm an old guy. It used to be when I was in the Gay Activist Alliance that the word gay included everybody. So it's supposed to be inclusive. It's supposed to show that here are all these gay and lesbian, etc. people, and there we all are out there, and we're together. And we could be anybody. Anybody could be gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, queer, or questioning. I see two different things for Q. Plus, there are more of the alphabet after that. Gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. It's a lot of stuff. I wish we had one word again, but we don't. We're never going to. But anyway, that's a kvetch from an ancient, decrepit gay dinosaur, and there we are, a bisexual dinosaur, I should say, and there we are. But anyway, this is not a thing to do, excluding groups like this. It has been done in the past. I remember the gay atheists in the 80s, they had a float that was against religion because they're gay atheists, and it had a guy up there dressed as the Pope, I think, or a bishop or something like that, and some police objected to this, some cop rejected, and Heritage of Pride pulled their float, wouldn't let them in. Now, I think they'd paid to get the float in there, and I don't know if they got their money back or anything, but there is a history of stupid decisions going back for years. I was with the previous group for about 4 and a fraction years, the Christopher Street Liberation Day Committee, and we ran the march for a number of years. We were inclusive. We didn't say, no, you can't be in here. We were there when GOAL, the Gay Officers Action League, first showed up. We let them in. We let all sorts of people in. We let in the parents groups, which some people objected to. We let in a group called Straights for Gay, who are straight people who are supportive of gay and lesbian people and all of this. And we let all sorts of folks in there. The first march, some people objected, we don't want drag queens in there. Jesus Christ. So a lot of us said, bleep you, they're coming in. And they were in. They've been in since then. And so this is bad. This is a very bad thing. And we'll see what happens. I think that there will now start to be a lot of backlash, a lot of blowback, as they call it these days, over this particularly stupid decision. And I'm sure it's something of, oh, the police are all bad. Let's defund the police and also not let them march in a march. Why wouldn't they be allowed to march? We fought for years to help get them to be able to come out. I was once the chair of what was called at the Gay Activist Alliance, the Police Power Committee. Police Power was the name of a book that came out in the late 60s that outlined that the police departments can tend to be a separate government and do all sorts of things. Stuff people still complain about today was first really delineated in that book. And so that's why the committee was named Police Power Committee. And we used to, you know, object and fight about things. And I managed to bother people in the city enough that eventually a mandate was put out that the police can't call anybody disparaging anti-gay names. The cops aren't supposed to call people faggots and stuff and other names I can't say on the air. I fought far enough for that, and that happened. Not the biggest thing in the world, but it was a little something. And so I know about the police and gay people. I used to collect badge numbers when we would observe bad behavior on the part of the police. And I was glad that we had Gay Officers Action League coming into the group and marching. And this was all good. So I think what's going to happen is there will be a backlash on this. Heritage of Pride will face pressure. And if they don't reverse this, there's plenty of time before 2022 for some other group to form and take over the march and everything else. Not an impossibility. And if Heritage of Pride continues to behave this way, maybe they have other people they would like to keep out of the march. Maybe old farts who object to what they do will be kicked out of the march. Well, anyway, so you can't tell what'll happen. I'm hoping that what'll happen is that sanity will suddenly be asserted in Heritage of Pride. We will see the Gay Officers Action League able to march in 2022 and thereafter along with others. All right. On our last program, we talked about the Colonial Pipeline Company getting hit with a very noticeable ransomware attack. So that company paid off the attackers, and reportedly they paid almost $5 million in untraceable cryptocurrency to the attackers. And since then, we've read about Ireland getting hit with a big ransomware attack. And we talked about the criminal industry called ransomware as a service, where criminal gangs that have the botnets and malware payloads. Botnets are loads of computers, usually that have been hijacked. Malware is things like viruses, worms, and other things that will take over a computer, and these days usually put it in as one element of a botnet. So if your computer gets hit with a malware, it may become part of a botnet, and you won't even know it. Maybe. And we talked about these criminal gangs that have the botnets and malware payloads and the ability to collect the cryptocurrency ransom payments without getting caught, and how those groups lease their services to other criminal gangs and share in the profits. Now we're reading about a new development in the ransomware racket. The criminals have been observed to be doing double encryption of their victims' data storage. So they encrypt it. That's what ransomware does. It encrypts your data storage, your hard drives or whatever, and you can't. Your system doesn't work anymore. And they demand that you pay them money, and if you pay them money, they say they'll send you the decryption key. And you use that key, and you're supposed to be able to decrypt your data again. Well, now they're doing a new thing of double encrypting their victim's data storage. This way, if the victim pays the ransom and gets the decryption key, which may not happen, a significant number of times they say, send us this amount of money and we'll send you the decryption key. And you send them the money and you never hear from them again. In those cases where the victim does pay off, and does get an encryption key, a decryption key, they go and they decrypt it, and they discover that their data is still encrypted because it's been doubly encrypted. The criminals have encrypted the data, and then they encrypted the encrypted data. And so the first key decrypts one of those, and then you've still got encrypted data, and you still need another key. And so then those people have to decide if they should pay off again to get the next decryption key, which, you know, you're going to ask, gee, is that the last one? Or maybe they've done more than two. Some ransomware gangs are also encrypting some of a victim's data with one key and the rest of their data with another key, which results in pretty much the same issue. You can decrypt some of your data and get some of your data back, but about half your data is still encrypted. So paying these criminals off is a really bad proposition. And I am also seeing that something called the 4PX malware botnet, which has been around for quite a few years, is being actively pursued by Microsoft. The 4PX criminals are mostly using old-fashioned malware attacks, and they clear a lot less money than the dark side criminals who attacked the Colonial Pipeline Company. They ask for lower amounts of money, and they're not as sophisticated, and they hit smaller companies and even individuals. So they're not that big a deal, but they're a pain in the ass. And if you've been hit by them, you're kind of devastated by them. And they've been targeting, it turns out, Microsoft Defender antivirus software. And they disable that software so that their malware can stay on the system. So Microsoft doesn't like this. There are one or two people in Microsoft who know a bit about computers and doing things. And so Microsoft is hunting 4PX. And apparently somebody, maybe not Microsoft, maybe rival ransomware people, actually hijacked the 4PX website and did bad things to their systems. So the question is, will 4PX get overwhelmed by the evil empire? It's an interesting question. I mean, geez, I think I'm rooting for the evil empire in this one. And this past week, a really big Antarctica iceberg has gone to sea. It's the size of Rhode Island, and is a picture of it that shows the island of Mallorca in the Mediterranean Sea, the outline of it, on this iceberg, and the iceberg is bigger. And so a big part of one of the ice shelves has broken off. Now, this doesn't raise the sea level right there, because this has been floating pretty much on the water for years and years. And it's not perfectly clear that this is the result of global warming or climate change, but they are noticing that in Antarctica, you're getting more of this kind of thing happening. So, yeah, there's a good chance that it is a part of that. Also, with sea levels rising and the fact that the ice is connected to the ice going back to the shore, that's going to raise it a little bit. Years ago, that ice came down off Antarctica and started floating on the surface of the Antarctic Sea, and now that sea has risen just a bit. And you know, if you take something straight and you bend it, if it's kind of brittle like ice, it's liable to break. So yeah, we've got that thing there, and it's gonna break up into smaller icebergs, and that's a menace to navigation. But there all of that is. So yeah, a new iceberg, a new big chunk, this keeps happening, a new big chunk of iceberg has come off Antarctica. It is currently the largest iceberg in the world. It's not the biggest ever. That happened some years ago. But it's the biggest that's around right now, because the biggest ever some years ago melted. And so this thing is floating around as a big, huge block of ice in the sea around Antarctica, and this is going to be quite something. We've gotten some interesting information in the past week here, which is that the Pentagon is really officially starting to look at UFOs again. And, you know, unidentified flying objects. And they've got a new program there, and they're looking at them. And, you know, they're not saying they're flying saucers or anything. You know, X-Files and all of that. However, you have these gun sight camera videos that we've seen, and you see very high-performance American jet aircraft having a hard time tracking and keeping up with at all these something or others that they are seeing. And this is a serious issue because it may mean that China and or Russia have these very advanced aircraft, or maybe, you know, aircraft or whatever they are, and that the Americans simply can't keep up with that. Could be something like they have perfected unmanned aircraft. These could be a type of high-performance drone because, as has been noted for quite a number of years, the main factor that holds back development of more powerful fighter jets is the human being sitting in there. Because you put the human being at 10 Gs of acceleration, starts passing out, even with all the stuff they've got to stop it. There's a limit to that. And so if you try to pull 14 Gs with a person in there, that person's at best unconscious and maybe dead. And so if you have hardened equipment and it can be operated remotely and there's no soft stuff in there, yeah, you can pull 14 Gs, no problem with that. And that is quite a speed to go at. When I first saw the video of those cameras in the aircraft and I said, what is this thing? And they were chasing them. My first thought was, well, given the way they're chasing it and the way they can't get it and the way it stays away from them, I wonder if maybe it's a glitch in their equipment because they were using new equipment and they couldn't see these things before they got their new special radar equipment. And I still wonder to some degree, could this be an artifact of their own equipment and they're tracing a blip that only exists in the equipment itself? There's maybe nothing there. And I don't know, that maybe not. But the fact is that these things could be a national security issue. They even had it on 60 Minutes, so it's not make-believe silly stuff. It's not minor, because if Russia or China can put something that targetable into the air over America, well, that's going to be bad news if they decide to do something nasty. And, you know, who knows what else they could do? I mean, what weapons could they put on a thing like that? I suppose if you wanted to really target a nuclear weapon right down to the ground, that might be a way to do it. Although we kind of have stuff like that already. But, you can do some things with a very, very fast aircraft like that. And it's also possible that it's stuff that's happening in the atmosphere that we just haven't encountered before. Again, this is only being encountered in the past couple of years with updated radar and detection equipment. So it could be that there's something in the atmosphere that is weird and moves fast or seems to move fast. Doesn't have to be one object moving through the atmosphere. It could be a phenomenon in the atmosphere that moves, sort of like lightning. Lightning doesn't, you know, have electrons coming from the cloud and the electron goes all the way to the ground. It's a cascade, and you can see in videos and films, you can see for a lightning bolt, it starts out with the cloud and it starts, and what happens is it progresses and there's different parts of the lightning bolt, and, you know, that's the way it goes. And so it's not the original thing, and it might be something like that up in the sky that would explain why it's going so fast. And, you know, things like that have been misinterpreted before for astronomers. There was a case in 1901 where they thought that something was moving faster than the speed of light. And it turned out, no, it wasn't. It was just the way we look at it that it was, you know, it seemed to be moving faster than the speed of light. So that could be it too. But the real thing, the real concern here is that a foreign nation state has a really, really high-performance aircraft that we can't touch. Oh, well. All right, fast pitch, 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number. Give us a call right now if you can. Call 1-212-209-2950 and say, you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And you can pledge donate $5 a month or $10 a month or $15 a month or $20 a month. And you get to pick which day of the month your credit card or debit card is charged for it. And be sure to tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And you can donate on a monthly basis to WBAI. And you get that really super duper nice WBAI tote / grocery bag. You also get discounts at various places, and you can go up to WBAI.org and see what places give you discounts and things like that if you're a BAI buddy. 1-212-209-2950. Please give him a call at that number and tell the person at the call center who picks up the phone that you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and we'll be very glad if you do that. Ah, there's Mr. Outro music. All right. Well, that's been it for Back of the Book for this week. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening. And we are very, very glad that people are still listening to us here. And especially thanks to any of you who called in and made a pledge in the name of Back of the Book. And we are pretty soon going to be seeing about getting the names of people so we can thank you all from management. So we'll see about that. Coming up next
is a special.
However, at 7 o'clock this morning, you can still hear Jim Freund with his program, Hour to Wolf, which is all about science fiction stuff. All right, it's late spring, a wonderful time of the year. Look out the window, and if you're vaccinated and you feel safe, you can put on a mask or not, and go out and walk around in the nice atmosphere. It's summery out. And while you're out there, breathe in and say, oh boy, this feels good being outside. Of course, in the meanwhile, remember what that sad but hopeful Dormouse said.
Sunday, May 23rd at 7 p.m., join a town hall hosted by WBAI's local station board on the media and the news. Which stories get covered and which don't? Where does WBAI fit in? Guest speakers will be community activist Alicia Boyd, the founder of the Movement to Protect the People, and Lisa Danielle, operations manager for Women's Press Collective, publisher of Collective Endeavor, Professor Johanna Fernandez, author of The Young Lords, A Radical History, and host of WBAI's morning show, A New Day, will moderate. Zoom access information and phone numbers are on the Pacifica calendar and the main page of the WBAI website. We hope you join us at the town hall, Sunday, May 23rd. At 7.
Pacifica Radio presents Not in Our Names, Policing in America. Tuesday, May 25th, the anniversary of George Floyd's murder and African Liberation Day. Across the network, we unpack policing from its origins to present day amplify the voices of activists and legislators calling for police abolition and reform, examine the prison industrial complex fed by police tactics such as jump outs and stop and frisk, and dream aloud of a country where Black, brown, and low-wealth communities are invested in instead of over-policed. That's Not in Our Names, Policing in America, a National Pacifica special, Tuesday, May 25th, 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. Central, and noon until 8 p.m. Eastern, on your local Pacifica station, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Walter Scott, say his name! Walter Scott, say his name! Walter Scott, say his name! Walter Scott, won't you say his name? Jermaine Reed, say his name! Jermaine Reed, say
thanks to
name.
You.
Thank each and every one of you for coming by.
And while he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you.